Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, chapter 66. This is the final chapter. Some people tie in the first chapter and the last chapter. That's, in general, a concept of a Torah concept sometimes, that when you have a beginning and an end, that there's a theme that connects. And sometimes people look for that theme. You can always come up with a Dvar Torah that way. One of the problems that people had was they lived in a society where people wanted to see a god. They wanted to worship an idol. They wanted a tangible god. They wanted to go to a certain place. And they were impressed by very fancy gods, very expensive gods, gold gods, the sun, the moon, the stars, they perceived Hashem or a god as being in a certain place, the god of a certain nation. And they sometimes got confused by that. He stresses to the people, and the people at the first temple, the people were the whole world was trending towards idol worship. In fact, it's funny, they called the Jewish people, they said that they were not believers because they didn't have a god. Because they didn't have a god you could see, so they called us atheists. The Romans looked at us as being, because if you believed in a god, show it to me. Show me your God, I'll show your God, you show me my God, you know. It's like, they pull it out, or my God's bigger than your God, and my God is... But it was a different... this concept that there's Hashem, who's all-powerful and has a plan for the whole world, and he controls the various forces, that was a unique concept. And so he comes back to that. It's almost a final plea that people have to get that. Now, we don't have idol worship in that form, that we don't go after seeing a god that's a stick or a stone or the sun or the moon. But we have other forms of worship. In other words, people dedicate their lives to other things. Some people dedicate their lives to pleasure. You know, nothing's important in life except pleasure. Some people dedicate themselves to money. They don't even know why. They ruin their health. They ruin their family. Money is their god. Other people are so self-centered that they worship themselves. You know, it's also a form of idolatry when a person has no room for Hashem because he thinks he's the greatest. We often talk about the kings used to see themselves as gods, mm-hmm. But you run into people that their life centers around themselves. They might not see, they might not even be aware of it, but other people are aware of it. When you meet people like that, their whole life is just them. That's all the... but that's a form of idolatry. That's a form of worshiping a strange god. And so a person has to get the overall picture. And so he stresses that, Ko Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says. Hashemayim, now you say some people worship the heavens and they look up to the heavens. The heavens are my throne. What is a throne? A throne is where something that you sit on, right? That's where a king sits on a throne, meaning that Hashem's presence is in the heavens. But that doesn't define Hashem. The heavens aren't Hashem. That's just a place where Hashem can be found. There's an upper existence where there's a higher perception of Hashem. V'ha'aretz, and down here on the ground, Hadam Raglai is a footstool. Now, a footstool, you don't always use a footstool. A footstool means that from time to time your feet rest here. And that means that there's a intense presence of Hashem from time to time. It's here, and certain places and certain times. And there are other times where you don't always, where you don't sense that intense presence of Hashem. But he's here. We just don't always sense it, or it may not be a permanent. It says that when you go to the Kosel, that Hashem's presence never left, the intense presence, and that's why people go to great lengths to pray there, because the prayer there is like you can tap into certain feelings there that you can't tap into anywhere else. It took me, I was there last year, but I can't say that my first visit to the coastal had happened, but the second or third it did, definitely, that I felt like I connected in a way that you just don't connect that way in other places. You just don't. I felt like Hashem was talking to me. You know, I don't mean figuratively, he said, but I you feel, that's the place of Hashem's presence. When somebody sins, there's an expression like they push away Hashem's feet. That's the expression. Dochech raglei hashchina. They push away the feet of the Shechina, because the world is Hashem's footstool. Like Hashem wants to put his, he wants to, there's the idea very, very simple that we live in a physical world and Hashem is spiritual. And within the world, there's a potential for good and for evil. And Hashem's essence is good. So this world is a place that sometimes we perceive evil, which is not the intense presence of Hashem. When a person sees evil, he sees tragedy, he sees things that happen, he's not necessarily at that moment seeing the intense presence of Hashem. If a person goes to certain kinds of entertainment or certain types, you see people acting like animals. And so you do not feel the intense presence of Hashem in that place. And so Hashem is more in like a that intense presence can only be found in an upper world, in a more spiritual world. The holiness, so there's a concept of like bringing holiness down, bringing the intense presence. It doesn't lend itself to translating well. The point of it is we live in a world of light and darkness, and there's both, and we seek to bring light into the world. We seek to bring the greater holiness, the greater presence of Hashem here. But some people, they have this idea like Hashem's in heaven and we're on the earth. But it's not, those aren't really two separate places. There's a higher place where a person perceives the truth and they perceive holiness. And then there's this world, which is a world which is full of light and darkness. And we have to work a little harder to see the light. I hope I'm making sense. I don't know if it's a... they talk about spiritual things, so this is what Hashem is saying. Hashem is in the heavens, but the world is a place where it's Hashem's footstool. There's another idea that the Medrash says, what is Hashem's footstool? That in Egypt, the Jews suffered so much that they took a Jewish child and threw him into the bricks. The Egyptians, they had no respect for Jews, and they killed Jewish children, and they actually threw a Jewish baby into the bricks. And the Medrash says Hashem took that brick and put that in front of him. That's his footstool, meaning that the idea that Hashem hears our suffering and hears our prayers and reaches out to us, that's always in front of him. Now, we should never think that when a person experiences tragedy or sorrow, that Hashem doesn't care. It's the opposite. We may not understand the reason, or we may not, but there's the idea that the stone or this brick is always in front of Hashem. That's his footstool. In other words, that's something that's in front of him. He's not forgetting us. He has us in mind. And where is the house that I will build? And where is the place that I will rest? This is where Hashem is looking for. Where can his presence, where can it rest? Where is a place, where is a person a place where Hashem's presence can be? Who is a place where you can feel the godliness? Bit 2. That's Kol Eila Yad Yisrael, all of these things I have created. And who do I look at? So this is the chakra. So like we're waiting for, where is Hashem's presence? Where is that holy place? So Hashem says, you know where it is? El ani unechei ruach. It goes to a simple person, not a fancy person, not a person who's has lots of things, but it goes to a person who is poor and humble. It doesn't mean poor in a sense. It means that a person... sometimes people feel that you have to have a big bank account or a big house or a fancy this or a fancy that. Hashem looks to people that they don't need very much. There are certain people, it's okay to have that kind of stuff if you want, but the question is, do you need it? There's certain people that that are needy. They need others. They need things. They need... Hashem looks to people that are just simple, humble people. The chored, and those people are chored, they're afraid because of my words. In other words, they want to make sure to do what's right. That's what Hashem... That's who do you find Hashem's presence with? A simple, humble person who's trying to do... is God-fearing. That's it. Not anybody fancy, you know, not, you don't have to know all the books, don't have to, you know, just simple, plain, not somebody who needs things, who bothers people, who wants attention, wants this, wants that. No, ani means just very simple. When the teruk, a humble spirit, is very happy, very satisfied with life, and he wants to do my words. Now, this word, the chored, so nobody knows, I'm not sure if they know who coined the phrase, they were trying to describe the ultra-Orthodox in Israel. They were trying to come up with a phrase. And ultra-Orthodox doesn't sound good because it sounds like, Orthodox means like you go by the book. Even the word Orthodox is very, not a great word. And ultra-Orthodox sounds even worse. So the word that they came up with was Haredim, people that want to do it's the same word. The word chared is the same as the word in English. Mine just calls that hasten. I'm not sure. I don't think that's the best translation. I don't know what your translation say.
Trembling
is a better. The word chared means that a person is afraid, is concerned to do what Hashem wants. That's what the word chareidim means. Somebody that's worried about what the Torah says. You know, if you do this, well, what doesn't the Torah say, you know, you got to do this? It's somebody that worries about doing the will of God. There's some people that's the last thing they worry about. Mm-hmm. But a person should always think, what does Hashem say? What would Hashem think? Life is full of decisions, and we always should say to ourselves, you know, what would Hashem want me to do? You know, where would Hashem think is the best thing, move for me? A person, if that's a person that's chared al dvar, they're worried about Hashem. They're worried about me, about Hashem. So it's somebody very simple. That's what the word ani means. And the chay ruach means a humble spirit. Mine says crushed spirit, which I don't like that either. We're looking like somebody who's a, who people steps on. It just means a person, like I said, who feels humbled, who feels that he doesn't need other people, he doesn't feel that something's coming to him, he doesn't feel something is owed to him, and he wants to do the right thing. That's the Hashem's divine presence rests on this person. And you know what? When you meet people like that, you sense it. You meet certain people that are very humble, they're very simple, and they want to do they want to do the right thing, they have this sense of fearing Hashem, and you meet them and you feel holiness around them. They're just very special, unique people that are, and you can't explain it. You know, there are other, people are very nice, but they're fancy, or they have airs about them, or they're not thinking about Hashem. We would do well if we could, the secret really in life is to think about Hashem. What would Hashem want? You know, that's always, we all try, I try too, you know, but it should, if we would always put that in our thoughts, when we make our different decisions about, what would Hashem think, or what would Hashem want me to do? So a person gets used to doing that, you'll be a tzaddik. You know, I want to sit next to you after 120 years. That person can keep that question in mind. That's just so important. The challenge is that people do well with, okay, don't eat pork, you know, don't eat bread on Pesach, but you tell a person to be humble. It just doesn't. People don't get it, you know. Or you tell a person to be God fearing, you know. What does that mean? So, people have this idea that if they do this, they'll go to, you know. But it's not that. It's a person. It's more like a worry. They're worried about Hashem's words. The only thing is that the term in modern Hebrew isn't understood so well. So it's not haredim. Sounds like they're fearful people. They're scared. You know, a person is scared, but it doesn't mean, it means a person is worried to do God's bidding. That's the term chared al devarai. Now, he's still addressing the people. The people were very external. And to some extent, we are also. And we like to be able to told, do this and do that, and that's all you got to do. You know, don't eat pork, you know, eat kosher, don't work on Saturday, and that's it. But the problem is that Hashem wants more from us. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be giving. He wants us to worry about, you know, sanctity and divine things. And we just want to do the external, you know, we just want to do the right things, you know, but we just want to be able to do X, Y, Z and be considered righteous. And what happened was, is that when they had a Beis HaMikdash, people would be criminals, so to speak. They would mistreat their servants and mistreat their fellow Jews. And then they'd go bring offerings. And they would think that they were really pious and righteous because they brought the offerings. And this was awful because people, instead of using the Beis HaMikdash as a way to get holier, were using that as an excuse not to be better. Believe it or not, we do that ourselves. We hide behind our external trappings. You know, I do X, Y, Z, and so therefore it doesn't matter how I treat my worker, my spouse, my neighbors, you know, because I wear a black hat or I go to this synagogue and sometimes we leave ourselves just with the external trappings and we forget that you got to be a good person. You got to be caring. You got to be not bothering people. You got to be humble. You got to be grateful for what you have. You want to do what's right. So over here, he goes back to this was Yeshayahu's way, where he would say very meaningful and beautiful prophecies and get us all excited, and then he would throw in a little bit of a sharp rebuke, because if he would just rebuke people, I don't know if people would listen. But you know, he was saying it out of love. But he said strong things, and here he does, you know, he says, Shochet Ashur, he says, you know, you people that are slaughtering an ox, it's like you kill a person, Maka'ish. You know, you're bringing a sheep, it's like you're killing a dog. Male Mincha, you're bringing a flower offering, pig's blood. You know, it's like, why? Because instead of it being a holy thing, you're using those external things to commit crimes. Maski Lavona, you bring frankincense, Mevorach Oven. When somebody uses spiritual things as an excuse, then that's what happens. It's not Hashem's ways. Gam Hema Bochu Darchechem. People choose that way. Ubeshuhuseyam Nafshem Chafetzu. And really, the people want to do abominations. They just feel that it's like they pay their dues in this way. What happens, what will Hashem do to these people? Verse 4, Gamani evchar b'tzu aleichem, and if that's the way they treat Hashem, that's the way Hashem will treat them, and will gorasam avi lehem, and what they fear Hashem will bring on them. Yan karasi, because I've called to them, they ain't ona, they don't answer. Dibarti, I've spoken, v'lo shamu, they don't listen. And what happens? V'yasa rabbeinai, and they do what's evil in my eyes. Not in their eyes. They think that in their eyes they're as good as can be, but they don't. They're not concerned about what about my eyes, and that's what we said with Haredi, means that they're worried about Hashem's. What will Hashem think? It's not what you think. It's what will Hashem think. Ubashir lo chafati, and what I don't like, bachu. That's what they like. It's such an interesting rebuke. So verse 5, Shamu dvar Hashem. But those of you who want to hear the words of Hashem, hacharedim, again we have this word, who are worried, that's the way they're choosing. This time my translation says quake. But I'll just show you how inconsistent translations can be. The first time we had that word, the word chared, there must have been a reason why he did that, but in verse 2 he used the word hasten to do my bidding, chared al dvar. Here he translates it quake. Is it hasten or is it quake? And it, you know, whatever it is, I'm just saying that. But I'm using the word worry in both cases. In other words, a person who worries about Hashem's word, it means that a person is afraid, is concerned that he do it right. That's the bottom line. So those people, Omra Chechem Sonechem Menadechem, for the people who don't like you, that you're trying to do my will, and people who make fun of you. We all know that when you, sometimes doing the right thing, you don't win the popularity contest. There are always people that, hey, don't you want to go and do this X, Y, Z with me? No, well, it's Shabbos, it's Yom Tov, it's, do you want to go, let's go to this place and watch this kind of entertainment? And, well, it's not really my kind of thing. Oh, what do you mean? Come on, what's the matter with you? You know, so sometimes you make enemies by doing the right thing. So your brothers who hate you, who ignore you, you sometimes have to stand up for Hashem. Leman Shemi, for my sake, Yikvad Hashem. Hashem will be on it. V'nir v'sim chaskem. And you will see joy and happiness, v'hema yavoshu, and they will be embarrassed. That's the world we live in. We live in a world where there's these opposite values. Kol shon b'ir, v'kol mehechol kol Hashem, misham gmula oiva. There'll be a sound in the city, and it's going to come out from the Beit HaMikdash, where Hashem will pay to his enemies, to those that want to destroy us, to those that want to come against us. And we live in a time, you just have to tune into the United Nations. There are plenty of people that hate us. They're always blaming Israel, always, you know, whatever happens, it's always, you know, Israel is always takes the it's always the Jew, you know. Europe has so many problems. They have nothing better to do. What do? They're outlawing Shkita. They're outlawing Bris Mila. They have, you know, it's just such a funny, it's a strange world. You'd think there are hardly any Jews left in Europe that they'd be bothered with these things. Yet they are. If you follow the news, you see, like, you know, in Poland, where there's almost no Jews, they outlawed Shkita. You know, they said they can't check, you know, or the Netherlands is worried about Bris Mila. You know, but at any rate, the people that have a secret hatred for spiritual people, the people who make trouble, they Hashem will get paid back. Now, we, on the other hand, are trying to serve Hashem, and sometimes we don't know how we are strong enough to accomplish the things we need to. So Hashem says that there'll be a miraculous growth, and it's described like a birth. There'll be like this new rebirth. B'terem tochel, usually in order to give birth, you have to go through labor first. You know, you can't give birth without, you know, one without the other. That's the way of the world that we live in. But over here, Hashem predicts that even before there'll be a labor, before you know it, that's according to the Midrashim, when we left Egypt, that's what happened, that a lot of the children that were thrown into the sea were taken care of by angels, and then they were brought back to the people as adults or as children that were raised, and they saw their missing children. But there's an idea that miraculous things will happen. In other words, good initiatives, good efforts that we have put into to try to serve Hashem, we will see a new future from it. Now, it sounds strange. Who could hear of something? Verse 8. Mi shamakaza. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Mi rakeilu. Have you ever seen it? Is the land going to, you know, usually you have to plow and plant and water, and all of a sudden it's going to be blooming. Imula goy pamachas, in 1, 2, 3, you're going to give birth, a whole nation? Ki chola gam yolda, without really experiencing the birth pangs? Sion espaneha, the Zion or Eretz Yisrael will give birth to a new nation. Well, it'll be miraculous, it'll come back. And again, to some extent, we've experienced some of this in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. Verse 9. Hani ashber velo olid. Do you think Hashem will bring a person? Hashem said, if I bring people to deliver, if I'm predicting this future, don't you think it'll happen? In other words, won't it come true? Yom Hashem. If Hashem is causing them to give birth and Hashem will make these miracles, certainly Hashem won't hold back. That's Omar Elok. That's what Hashem. Which Hashem? Elokaya, your Hashem. Verse 10. Simchu Yerushalayim. And Hashem will rejoice with Yerushalayim in this rebuilding. So I just want to point out that we started off with a very strong rebuke, and now we're back into the love and the future. So it's just part of it's this combination of the good and the hope. And at the same time, we have to be careful. You know, we don't want to be bringing pig's blood on the altar, and we don't want to be external. We want to be on the right side of this. Hashem says, we'll rejoice with Shalim, the Gilavah, and he will sing a happy song. Who call all of everybody who loves Yerushalayim, Sisu Ita, and they will rejoice with it. Kol Misa, everybody who mourns for it. So we believe it's important to later on in the year we have Tisha B'Av, and even at the Seder, you know, we have the egg. You know, to some extent, we remember Yerushalayim, and we hope, we say L'shana Haba Yerushalayim, next year in Yerushalayim. It's funny, I always think of Natan Sharansky, what he, you know, when he was in the Soviet Union before he was sent off to the Gulag. He said in the courtroom, that was his cry, next year in Yerushalayim. There's a little more to that, but it was like a moving speech, if you ever have a chance to read that. But anybody, and what is he now, where does he live? He lives in Yerushalayim, and he's a parliament member. You know, like that. But if a person mourns for Yerushalayim, a person hopes for it. So Hashem says they will merit to rejoice in it. They will merit to be happy in it. That's the idea, that if a person realizes what we're missing and what was lost, and they hope for it, and they seek it out, so then they get to rejoice. 11. Leman Tiniku. Now, we will want to grow, and we will need nutrients, and we want to grow spiritually. It's almost described like a nursing, like we'll nurse from, we will draw from it. We will nurse and we'll be satisfied, Mishon, from the consolation. Jewish people have undergone a hard time. We've gone through Holocaust. We've gone through difficulties, and it's been a hard road. There's no question about it. That what we faced, and so when we come back, the question is: will we be comforted? Will we be satisfied? So here it says that it'll be like a child that will be sustained and satisfied, and there's nothing a child likes more than his mother's milk. In other words, will be brought back to being the people of Hashem. Laman timsu v'tenai, and we will be found, and then we'll have true oneg. That's this word, delight. V'anagtem. And you will be full of delight. Mizig foda, from the glory of its honor. That's the promise of the coming back to Yerushalayim. Verse 12. Ki ko amar Hashem, and this is what Hashem says. Hini ninote ala kenar shalom. Now, when Hashem brings us back, so he's saying, I'll reach out to you. I'll reach out to you like a peaceful river. Interesting expression, a peaceful river. Sometimes people like to go, Miami for Pesach. Why? Because they want to watch, they like to be by the water. They find it peaceful. They sit out there and they watch the waves, or they want to cruise, there's a certain peace to that, or they say there is. That's why that's Kenar Shah. So Hashem's going to reach out to us like that peaceful river. Ukenato Shatav, and the wealth of the nations and the honor of the nations will come flowing towards us. The Naktem Outzad, and we will be provided for and satisfied from all. We don't have to worry, like, how are we going to make a living? That's the big problem today in Israel. How are you going to make a living? How are you going to survive? Don't worry, Hashem says. You're going to go, it'll be rivers, and the wealth will just come flooding in. And you'll be lifted up like a child that's on his parents' knees. You know, you have a little child that's on the floor. His parents or his grandparents, they pick him up and they put him on their knee, right? And so Hashem is going to hold us on their knees. And translation also, he says dandled. I don't know what dandled means.
Mine said the same word.
Dandled. Yeah, that's what it says. You said that too? Any idea what dandled means? So Yeshua means you'll delight in. Like, you know, you take a child, you know, take a little, you know, real cute child, you know, and hold them on your knees, and it's fun. It's a, that's how Hashem is going to hold us on his knees. He's going to pick us up out of the mud, so to speak, at the time of the redemption. Verse 13. Now, sometimes people refuse comfort. I've seen this. Sometimes a father tries to comfort a child and it doesn't work until the mother does. You know, a child wants his mother. That's verse 13. Isha Shir, you know, just like a child, when he gets his mother. His mother knows what to say to him. So Hashem says, I'm your mother. I'm gonna comfort you just like your mother does. So just like a man... It's interesting that he says a man, you know, like not a woman or a man, like a person. You could say it means a person, but sometimes even a man, even a big tough person, that's he needs his mother to comfort him. So too, Hashem will be provide that comfort. Yerushalayim tinam, and Yerushalayim will be comforted. Yerushalayim, the city that was destroyed, and the city where Yerushalayim will be the light that will come out to the world. That everything will be worth it. The person is comforted. It almost means like they understand, or they are. A person is agitated and they're upset, and they need comfort. Means they need something that will help them continue. They need something that will calm them. They need something that will give them the ability to go on. And so that's all part of comfort. Yerushalayim will be comforted. Verse 14. And you will see it, and you'll be happy in your hearts, and you'll be happy in your bones. That's Mosechem Kadesha. Your bones will be like just like it is today, with all the sprouts and all the blossoms. And I'm not sure what it means. Your bones will blossom, but we'll have to get a bone doctor and find it. Your bones will bloom like grass. I think it means you'll be healthy, like. You know, when people get older, you know, their knees and their joints and their bones hurt. You know, they feel it in their bones. How do they know it's their bones? Somehow they do. You know, you don't say you're like, you feel it in your bones. So Hashem says your bones are going to rejuvenate. The know the Yad Hashem is Avodav, and Hashem will know who's his servants, and he's going to know who his enemies are. That's going to be easy to tell. The Zoam es Ovav, and he's going to know his love. Which side are you on? You know, it's going to become clear at that time who's Hashem's servant and who's Hashem's enemy. Again, the servant is worried to do the will of his master. Now again, we come back to the there are those that are Hashem's enemies, and what's going to happen to them? Verse 15: Kinei Hashem be'esh yavo. Hashem's going to come in a fire, a kasufa. It'll be like a nuclear wave, like a tempest and chariots. Lahashi bechema apple with anger, begarosa. There'll be like a fiery rebuke, like a nuclear fire or something, or a big fire. A fire is very, if you've ever seen, like a destructive fire, the power and they usually describe it as like a fury, because it just burns and it's like angry, and so that's the metaphor here of this angry fire, like it's all consuming. Yeah, we're relatively lucky, you know, in our times where it's not as much of as common as it once was. People used to live in wooden houses and fires would spread, and but that's a fire. It has that, you know, that power and that vengeance, and that's the but at one time, if you study history, many people lived through fires. Like every so many years, there'd be a fire, and there'd be, you know, and it was scary, and people would have to rebuild, and cities caught fire. And but Hashem says that He's going to come like a fire and rebuke these enemies of Hashem. 16. Ki beish Hashem nishpat, because Hashem will judge them with fire. Ubecharbo ves kol baser, and all the flesh will be judged. And v'rabo chale Hashem, and unfortunately, there'll be many that are going to fall by the hand of Hashem. In other words, not everybody's going to be. It's not going to be pleasant for everybody. There are a lot of people that are that just have not made good choices. 17. Hamiskachim b'metarim. It's interesting over here. So again, you have to kind of get the picture. The Jewish people were a religious people in a sense that people went to the temple and they kept the laws, but at the same time, some people worshipped idols, and some people they were bad to their servants, they were bad to their spouses, they were bad to their neighbors, and so they weren't really religious, but they did certain external things. And he says that there were people that would go, they would make themselves pure, and they would go to their roofs. I don't know exactly why he says that. He calls it gardens. They would go to their gardens. And they eat pig's meat, vasheketz, va'akbor, and they'll eat rodents and disgusting things. Yasfu, they'll be destroyed. In other words, the hypocrites. Those people that they pretend to be holy, but they really not holy. Rashi learned that the people that sanctify themselves to the idols. That's the way he learns it. 18. And Hashem says, "Me, Hashem, in my thoughts and in my deeds, bo lekabit as kolagoyim. He's going to gather all the nations of lashonas bo rose quoti, and there'll be a bringing of the whole world to Yerushalayim to see Hashem's glory and to see what Hashem's plan is." 19. V'samti behem os, and Hashem will send a sign. V'shalakt men pleitim, and there'll be refugees. Hashem will send out messengers to all the nations, and these messengers will go to the far off nations, to Tarshish, Upul, Volud, Moshe, Keshet, to all kinds of towns, Tuvo, Vayavin, Vayim, Rechokem, Asher Lo Shamu, Eshemi. That there are places out in China and out in Siberia and out in India where they never heard of me. So Hashem is going to send out messengers to these places that they know about Hashem. Velo Roesk, for they don't know. No one told them. Vegidu es kvodi bagoyim, and the nations will be told. They'll be taught that. And what will they do then? That the nations themselves will come to the Beis Hamikdash. And verse 20. Behavius kol achekam, and they'll come. And we see the nations as our brothers too. In other words, the nations of the world have a part in the Messiah, and the good ones, and those that when they learn about Hashem will come and they will bring dedications to Hashem, and they'll come with horses and basusim, berechev, etzavim, pradim, wagons, and all bring all kinds of wealth and all kinds of things. Al har kachi, to my holy mountain Yerushalayim, O Hashem, just like the Bnei Yisrael brings to the Beis Hamikdash, the Gentiles also will bring to the Beis Hamikdash. That's the mimka b'kli Torah, and they will follow the rules. Verse 21, v'gam mehem echak l'kohan levim, and Hashem says, I'm going to pick from them too. Some of them will get to serve Hashem. I saw Rabbi Schwab was saying that there are Jews that are mixed in the nation, and he understood it that there might be people that are Gentiles that are really Jewish, and they're even Kohanim and Levim, because we no longer know who's Jewish. You know, they say if you go to Spain that a high percentage of the people there were descended from Jews and people from other places as well. So Hashem is saying you never know who might turn out to get selected to go in the Beis Hamikdash. But verse 22, I didn't think we'd get this far, but it's good anyways, because I want to do a little bit of a review of the highlights of the Yeshayahu. How long is it? Has it been a year or 2 years since we started? Anybody remember?
Nope.
It seems like a long time.
It's got to be a year, because if this is chapter 66.
Yes, I imagine so. Yeah, because we never do more than one chapter in a week. Very rarely.
More like 2 years.
It's probably 2 years. Yeah, so it's quite an accomplishment. Maybe a year and a half, maybe. Or, now it's the interesting thing is that this is read on Rosh Chodesh, and so we spent this whole chapter. Now Haftorahs are very interesting in that way. Sometimes it takes a long time to get to the theme. So the question now is, what does this have to do with Rosh Chodesh? So if you'll remember, this started off about a newness, to turn over a new leaf and a new... there's the idea that we rejuvenate and that we turn over a new leaf. And that part of seeing the new moon is this newness, this taking over again of the Kikasha Shemaim HaKadoshim V'Oretz HaKadoshim, just like the new heavens and the new earth, Hashani Om Yivnei Hashem Kein Yamud Zerechem, and so too will their descendants stand in front of me. I guess we'll stop here at 23. And like I said, we'll review a little bit, and then we'll make the Siyum Mirz Hashem, which is a mitzvah, and Yashikaris to everyone.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.